Oh, hello. Trambles time. Yes, I'm all stuffed up again. I'm always stuffed up. Stuff. I don't know what it is. I worry about it. I think about it. I overthink about why I am stuffed up. But, you know, if you don't mind, you know, a lot of people have a nasal voice and have made it very far in life. I have a lot of road left ahead of me. Let's just say that. I'm not going to be negative. You know, I was thinking over the weekend that one of my favorite stand-up comedy specials of all time is Norm Macdonald's Me Doing Stand-Up. And one of the things he talks a lot about, or does a whole bit on, actually, is the news. You like the news? You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it with an impression of him. Anyway, he makes a point that there's too much news. In 2024, there was way too much news. And back when he recorded that, I think it was 2011 or 2012, there was too much news then. And you can relate to that because when I grew up, there was the 6 o'clock local news followed by the 6:30 news. If something happened in the world, there was breaking news. And there were updates telling you to tune into the news that was on in the evening. Although usually in the evening, it was just local news. 11 o'clock, followed by The Tonight Show. And I forget what the other networks had. Before the Iran hostage crisis in 79, ABC didn't have Nightline. So I don't really remember what they aired on those channels. But, you know, eventually in the 80s and 90s, it became talk shows and whatnot. You know, and CNN came around in the early 80s, and it was just news constantly. I like to watch headline news because it was like watching the half-hour national news over and over and over and over again. But, you know, to Norm's point that there's too much news, there's too many voices, too many words, very little substance. Local news is a different thing, and I'm not just saying that because my wife is a reporter and an anchor. I'm saying that because local news is a different thing. I also work for a news station that does local news. But it's real news. The reporters that go out and they get quotes and they talk about local stories and things that people can relate to because it's in their community. You want to know what the weather's going to be. You want to know what the traffic's like. You want to know what happened to that house that burned down, or you want to hear something nice that happened. There's the good mix of local stuff that you care about, right? You're interested in local and regional stories, especially sports and lifestyle and things like that. But national cable news is, to me, something that took a long time to create, and here's the recipe. You take one cup of 1990s Howard Stern, specifically the OJ era. You gently mix in a cup of 1990s WWE storylines. Then you add 2 tablespoons of reality television, a dash of Crossfire, which was a show on CNN where they just debated politics, left versus right. A dash of Meet the Press, a pinch of Bill Maher's earlier shows, and a pinch of The Daily Show. This is when all these things came out and got real successful. Because now they're just, you know, pale copies of their original selves. You bake that at 450 for 1 hour, and then you cover it all in a thick layer of sanctimonious bullshit, and that, my friends, is modern cable news. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and then you have your fringe elements out there, mostly on the right wing. There are left-wing ones, too. You have the Young Turks. You have Democracy Now. You have OANN, Newsmax. All these different things. Everybody's got their own news show. And then, you know, you got the podcast where they just on and on. And any possible thing, if you are watching the news and you hear something that you don't like, well, you can go find something that totally aligns with yourself, or you have to make your own. So really for news and major news stories that are always in the cycle, that are going around and around and around, I tune in to a podcast. I don't tune into it. It downloads onto my phone or streams. It's called No Agenda with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry, where they basically just break down the news. They break it down and, you know, they give their opinions, but they're very well thought out, intelligent opinions. And you get clips, and then they do a deep dive into the clips and tell you whether it's bullshit or not. And I appreciate that because I can't watch the news. Everything is so emotional. So emotional. And it's about anything. It could be about Hollywood. It could be about sports. There's always an emotional storyline. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Oh, they're in love. Let's show them every 5 seconds. Just show the game. And that's when I watch a football game, by the way. As soon as they go to a commercial break, mute. And when they come back, unmute. Go back to a commercial, mute. I was like, if I see somebody get hurt, I know they're going to go to a break because they have to go, you know, tend to the person who's hurt. And then they have to come back on and, you know, talk about all the drugs that that you got to take if you want to lose weight, like Ozempic. Or make sure you get this or that, or talk to your doctor, and that's brought to you by Pfizer, and da-da-da-da-da. There's so many drugs. So many drugs! I can't take it. I can't take the commercials, the, oh, we care, and we love, and we this, and we that. And it's just everything in media. So we do, though, have a nice little ability to cherry-pick the things that we care about and pull them out. And put them in a little pile and then go back to them when we need them. If, you know, we want to. Or we can just, you know, turn off our brain and watch the news. I don't think most people do that anymore. Obviously, the ratings stink. And I'm not being political here, by the way. I'm just saying that you're just bombarded with messaging constantly. Open your phone. Message, message, message. Look at an app. Message, message, message. And, I'm, quote the jerky boys, I wasn't looking for anything along those lines. I just want to look at pictures of people eating their food or on vacation or playing with their kids or a comic book or a drawing or something. I don't want you to show me 17 different roofing ads as I'm scrolling through TikTok and Instagram. So it doesn't matter who you vote for, where you worship or not, or what entertains you. You just have to find it for yourself. That's what I do. I have to find it for myself because I don't want to sit around being angry all the time. And, you know, sitting around being angry all the time because you're looking at things that make you angry is your fault, my fault when I do it, and I realize it. You know, I could sit out in my carport chain-smoking a pack of cigarettes, or I could be in the living room watching some horrific, terrible, inane children's programming on YouTube playing cars with my son. And that's, you know, that's all he wants. Play cars, daddy. You want to play cars, daddy? Get on the floor. Get on the floor. Don't sit there. Sit there. Okay, I'm going to let you program me for a couple of hours because I'm going to experience great joy in spending time with you, Gilbert. That's what I like doing more than being a doom scroller. And to a degree, it works for the most part. Because I still doom scroll. But not all the time. And, you know, when I'm full of anger or vitriol, I'm thinking, well, should I go out there and do this? And why is this? And why is that? So, like last night, okay, this is Monday. And last night was, it was a Sunday. And the Buffalo Bills, who are my favorite team, had a divisional round game against the team that always beats them in the playoffs, but they always beat in the regular season, the Kansas City Chiefs. So the Kansas City Chiefs story this year is they've had some hardships. They've had some tougher games than they've had in the past. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, their defense, all those guys are really, really amazing. That's an amazing team, and they have an amazing coaching staff. Andy Reid is an awesome coach. And they've earned every title that they've won, every Super Bowl that they've won, or the one that they lost. They deserve to be there. They're the best team in the NFL. And they've proven that, right? Patrick Mahomes is an amazing quarterback. But what bothered me this season was them forcing the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift story down our throats. I don't care. I don't care about her. She has a pleasant voice. She makes sweet little songs and always has. And I remember seeing her on an episode of CSI when she was a teenager. Back then, I guess she was a country singer. She had the curly hair, but she was a victim. And the way they wrote the story was she told the tale from, it was like a Columbo thing, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, she's telling the tale. But I've always, you know, respected her, and she has some catchy songs, but the NFL and the networks and the whole system just, you're going to care about this. You're going to care about this. Oh, I don't care about it. Well, too bad. You're watching football. We're going to show her. But I don't want to see her. Well, look away. Okay, I'll look away. And then there are people out there who work in the industry who dared to say anything about it. They're not working in there anymore. They're not doing playoff games. When's the last time Al Michaels wasn't involved in football, in the playoffs? Well, he should have kept his mouth shut, right? Should have kept your mouth shut. But my favorites are Jim Nance and Tony Romo when it comes to this sort of thing, and I think they did a great job. Tony Romo is exciting to listen to. Nance is calm. They remind me of the old days of listening to Pat Summerall and John Madden. That was every Sunday. Pat Summerall and John Madden. Since I'm an old fart, I kind of need that consistency. But anyway, I wasn't too upset. I figured that the Bills were either going to win or lose, and that's the way I'm approaching sports or anything like that that I care about, you know. I watched all four Super Bowls. I watched the Bills lose all four Super Bowls in a row. I watched them go to the NFC, to the AFC Championship game in the 94-95 season, play the Steelers, and lose, which I expected. But they would have played the Cowboys again, and the Cowboys destroyed the Steelers. Neil O'Donnell, I think, was his name. Anyway, the Steelers have won a couple since then. The Bills haven't been back. And, you know, this wasn't their year. This certainly wasn't their year, because if they had beaten KC, they'd have to play the Ravens, who are amazing. They have a great quarterback. He's definitely the MVP of the league. And say you get by the Ravens. Well, you're either going to play the Lions, who are resurgent and fast and have a ton of young talent, or you're going to play the San Francisco 49ers, who have a very young but talented quarterback with a veteran staff around him that's friggin' amazing. So, I don't think it's scripted or anything, but I don't like the scripted stuff that goes in and around football, right? That's what I'm talking about. I don't care about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and I never will. And I don't care that they see me, and I don't care that this and this and the messaging and all that. I just, you know, want to watch a team that I like play another team that I like, and hopefully my team wins. Now, I can't say that I'm going to be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs, because I'm not. I want the Ravens to win. If my team's not in it, I don't want to see the same teams over and over again. Like baseball. You know, baseball has done a good job. Used to be the same teams constantly. And I guess it's still the same teams. But they're different teams, at least. I'm a Yankees fan. They haven't been to the World Series since 2009. And I'm fine with that, because I've watched the Yankees win in my lifetime. I got to watch 77, 78. They lost to the Dodgers, and I think it was 80 or 81. I don't remember. I think it was 80. But 77, 78, 96, 99, 2000. 98 also, 96, 98, no, I'm, yeah, 96, 98, 99, 2000, they won four, and then they lost. So I've seen them win a bunch of World Series, and if they don't win it again, well, I can go, well, you know, I've seen them win a lot of them. So, yeah, that's where I am today. Yesterday, we went to this place called the Great Wolf Lodge down in LaGrange, Georgia, which is an indoor water park. It's completely for kids. And it was a blast watching him go down the water slide. Gilbert, I'm talking about, not some random little boy. But it was Gilbert, and he was having a blast. His mother took him down the night before. And I just love the joy and him going, Daddy, watch, Daddy, watch. All these things that I could have experienced 20 years ago, but I'm experiencing now. So I don't regret the fact that I didn't experience them 20 years ago. I love the fact that I get to experience them now and see the joy on his face. We took him to Waffle House. It was his first time there. He ate his waffle. He ate his sausage. He drank his milk. Just the little wonderful memories that I get to share with him. So, it's just it's cool, man. I'm really appreciating that I have him in my life to make him laugh and make him happy. And hopefully he'll dig some other things besides just the Beatles. It's weird. I'm a weird person. Like this morning we got up and he wants to watch TV while he's getting ready to go to school. He might be too young for that. I don't know. So I put it on YouTube and I was like, okay, you're going to put in Sesame Street 1985 episode, because I'll let him watch that. That's Sesame Street has always been a diverse show. There's always been multicultural influences on the show. And the quality is terrible, but they took all those old ones off wherever they stream it. I think HBO or Max or whatever, they took all the old ones off. I don't like modern Sesame Street. It's not about learning. It's not about teaching. It's all about messaging, message, 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 message with weird Muppets that, you know, my mom has a hangnail. Okay. And too much Elmo. Elmo, you can only take a little bit of Elmo. And he's already sick of Elmo, and he's only 2.5. He'll be 3 in May. He's already tired of Elmo. No Elmo, Daddy. No Elmo, Daddy. He'd rather watch cars go down a ramp and crash into a statue of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. They look like video games. So it's just cars going down a ramp and crashing, which I don't let him watch too much of because I think it's a little too violent. I am getting ready to interview a comedian named Dusty Slay. He's coming to town in March. He just had a brand new special called Working Man drop on Netflix. It's a one-hour special. It's his first full-hour special on Netflix, and I laughed my ass off watching it. And I'm going to go see him on March 30th at Woodruff Arts Center. He's a funny dude, man. He's one of those relatable comics. I think it's probably my favorite special that I've seen. I recommend it if you're into that kind of thing. I just discovered him last year. I got a solicit to interview him. I said yes, and then I did a deep dive into his comedy. Enjoyed the interview that I did with him. Didn't get to go to the show. This year I'm going to go because it's a Saturday night, and he's a funny dude. If you've never listened to any of his stuff, check him out. He does some very funny, very insightful jokes, great punchlines, and he's done all the crap that I have. He worked shitty jobs, and now he's a touring comedian. He's a homesteader with his wife and family, he does a podcast with his wife where they, you know, there's no conspiracy theories. They're not talking politics. They're just relating, talking about life, talking about their careers, talking about touring, talking about family. So I think that's a lot of fun, it did make me laugh. So look forward to that. That'll be on the WSB show, The Popcast, which airs Saturday nights. Usually it's 7 unless there's something else going on. But they do find a place for it, I really appreciate the programming staff at WSB for letting me do that. So go Lions! I'm rooting for the Lions for Steph, and because they've never been there, and I like to watch them play. And also go Ravens! Wouldn't it be cool to see the Lions and the Ravens? Like a bunch of crows playing a bunch of Lions? I don't know. But that's who I would like to see in the Super Bowl. Odds are it's going to be Kansas City and San Francisco again, and Kansas City will win again, and then you got your damn Tom Brady bullshit all over again. Stop it! No, I don't know. I don't know. I can't predict football. But that's who I'd like. And I will be back next week with another episode of Trembles. I had a lot more I wanted to talk about, but like I said, I'm getting ready for this interview. All right. Talk to you later. Oh, hang on.
The following advertisement contains celebrity impersonations and is not an endorsement.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
I think it's pronounced Gyro, Michael.
Gyro.
Whatever.
Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is ready for the winter season with over 40 beers in cans and bottles and 16 beers on tap, with 12 of those being local Georgia and Southeast craft beers.
Their current featured selection is Jekyll Brewing's Cooter Brown Ale. This brown ale is the perfect wintertime brew with its silky smooth body, sweet caramel and chocolate aroma, and a slight refreshingly bitter finish.
They once again would like to thank all the radios and fans for listening to this podcast. Stop by the restaurant and mention you heard about them on Radio Labyrinth for a free dessert.
By the way, their food truck is on hiatus until late February due to winter weather, but there are always exceptions. And if you want to reserve a specific date, please contact Mike Hall at 770-483-6228.
And don't forget, they're open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 9 p.m. on Saturday. They're closed on Sundays.
That's nice.
There's a legend behind Cooter Brown Ale. Cooter Brown supposedly lived on the line which divided the North and South during the American Civil War, making him eligible for military draft by either side. He had family on both sides of the line, so he did not want to fight in the war. He decided to get drunk and stay drunk for the duration of the war so that he would be seen as useless for military purposes and would not be drafted. Ever since, colloquial and proverbial ratings of drunkenness have been benchmarked against the legendary drinker as drunk as Cooter Brown or drunker than Cooter Brown. Yeah, we've all been there, boy.
Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Reaper Printing of Athens, in Athens, Georgia. Since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.